praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program.
You know, it's very important that we believers in Christ realize that we're not just forgiven sinners that are waiting to go to heaven. There is a race for us to run, and there is a goal for us to reach.
At least 4 different times, the Apostle Paul likened the Christian life to a race that we need to run. As we walk in spirit, we are also running this race with a great cloud of heavenly onlookers urging us to the finish line with the promise of great reward to those who finish. We will look at the universal race on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry. And as always, we're happy when Francis Ball can return and help us continue our exploration of the book of Hebrews. Francis, as always, it's good to see you again.
It's always good to be here with you, Chris.
Francis, this metaphor of an athletic competition was certainly a favorite of the Apostle Paul's. Why is it such an appropriate one for our Christian life?
Well, I notice that this term comes up quite often in 1 Corinthians 9. I remember that was one of my favorite portions when he mentioned about running the race, so run that you may obtain. And then he mentions it 2 or 3 times in Hebrews, and I believe also in Galatians. It is a favorite term, and I think it has a very, very good application to our living the Christian life. A race is not a race unless there's a goal to reach. And it's not a race unless you have your heart set on it, your whole being set on it. Then it becomes just kind of a stroll. We have our whole being set on this, of living the Christian life, and I believe we'll find out what this race really is in this message, and we'll also find out what the goal is. But this, Chris, I believe is a real good term that the Apostle Paul has used to describe the Christian life.
Francis, you referred to a more leisurely pace as a stroll, and I'm afraid that oftentimes that's what we may fall into. But as we're going to find out today, we have a heavenly crowd, a throng of onlookers, and they're urging us, don't stroll, run this race. And I think that's the encouragement we're going to find in our life study today.
And that's certainly the encouragement we need. We should not be considering that we're just on a nice Sunday afternoon stroll in our Christian life.
Now, let's join the race, Francis. Here's Witness Lee.
Now we come to the Christian race, not the horse race. In the New Testament, you do have such a term, the race. It is sufficient. Nearly Paul was the only one that always liked to refer to this race. Firstly, he mentioned this race in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he even told us that he was running the race in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. He also told us how he ran the race in Philippians chapter 3. And then when he was going to be ready for the martyrdom, he told us he has finished the race. So in this book of the Hebrews, he charged the Hebrew believers to run the race. Now, I would, before saying something, ask you to tell all of us, what is the race? Why I would ask you such a puzzle thing, because deep in my spirit this afternoon, I realize all of you don't know it.
Okay.
It's so simple, yet you don't know it. Why? Because you never heard it. You know, I just give you one verse, you would know what is race. What is race? The Lord Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way. Have you got it? The Lord said, I am the way. You know, a race is a way. A race is a course. That is a way. Don't you realize the race is a way? Run the race. Run what race? We run Christ. Christ is the way. You see? Christ is the race. Because Christ is the way. Our way is our race. The way we are taking now is the race we are running. It doesn't mean that there are two things. One is the race and other is the way. On the one hand, we are walking the way, and on the other hand, we are running a race. We only have one thing. The way we are walking is the race that we are running. The race that we are running is the very way that we are walking. So by this, you can see that the race is Jesus Christ.
Francis, as you mentioned in your introduction, every race has a finish line. If you get into this picture in the context of the book of Hebrews, it's very clear that the goal of this race is not the initial receiving of Christ or salvation, as it's usually thought of. What then is the goal or finish line of this race, Francis?
You know, it's very important that we believers in Christ realize that we're not just forgiven sinners that are waiting to go to heaven. There is a race for us to run, and there is a goal for us to reach. And that goal is not just our initial salvation, receiving Christ and then waiting and making the best of this life for ourselves. But this race has a goal of the kingdom of God. We are racing toward reigning with Christ. We are racing toward being brought on to glory. Our goal is not some dream about heaven, but our goal is the kingdom of God. And for us to reach that kingdom and for us to ultimately even be the New Jerusalem is really the goal that we Christians have. And for gaining that goal, we not only believe in Christ, which saves us from our sins and keeps us from going to perdition and makes us at peace and right with God, but there's much more that is to be gained by our pressing on toward the goal. Like Paul said, I press on, forgetting everything that's behind, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this goal is just to go on till we reach the kingdom of God, which is in the coming age, and then eventually the New Jerusalem for eternity.
Well, Francis, as we've pointed out on many occasions, the Word of God has several functions in our Christian life, and certainly not the least of which is an inspiring and energizing and a motivating. And I think that's a very major characteristic of the book of Hebrews, isn't it?
It very much is the major thing in the book of Hebrews, because in that book we're encouraged to go on, to come forward, actually to take all the Bible, the New Testament particularly, as just a message to unbelievers so they will believe, is very short of the intention of the whole New Testament. If that were the case, you would only need a few verses, a couple of chapters out of the Gospels, probably John 3 and so on. But that is not the case. We have lots in the New Testament, particularly in this book of Hebrews, urging us on toward this goal, to enter into all that God has prepared for us.
Francis, let's go back to Witness Lee for more of this very inspiring life study that we're enjoying today.
There is a way from Genesis 1, verse 1, to the end of Revelation. There is a way in the Bible, a way from eternity past to eternity future, a way. God prepared for the human race to get on. Now, I must ask you, what is this way? You say it. What is this way? I do believe you all now are clear the unique way that God prepared in the whole universe for the human race is Christ. Before Christ was manifested, God used types to signify this thing. And the most striking type among all the types was the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, you could see three parts, the outer courts, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Well, in those three parts, you can see there was a way. As we have seen, starting from the altar, passing through the laver, then the show table, then the lampstand, and then the incense altar, and then ushering us into the very spot where the law of life is. You see the way? This is the way. That is the way which is Christ himself. And this way is the race. When the children of Israel were called by God, they were all sinners, distracted from the way of God. Then God showed them the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there was a way. All the sinners could be on the way, starting from the altar, from the cross. Then they could take this way and went on. They could take this way and they could go on, and on, until they could reach the last point to enjoy God's element, the law of life. So that way was just Christ for the human beings to reach God. Not for the human beings to reach heaven, but to reach God. Look at the situation. By the time when the Lord Jesus came, those priests, chief priests, high priests, were worshiping God, offering sacrifices on the altar, burning the incense, the lampstand, and putting the showbread on the table and so forth. They were doing things supposedly to contact God. But by the time the Lord Jesus came in incarnation, the Lord went to little houses. One was the house of the leper, Simon, in Bethany. I mentioned this several times, while the Lord Jesus, in that little house at Bethany, enjoying fellowship with all those dear brothers and sisters, and the priests were worshiping God in the temple. You just tell me, by that time, where was the way? Where was the way to reach God? Not in the temple, but in that little cottage. In that little house, poor house in Bethany. Why? Because the way was there. The way was there. Who was the way? Christ. He was the way.
Francis, to get into the full type of this race in Hebrews, we have to see that the way of the race is just Christ. But now, to see the way clearly, we need to understand this type of the tabernacle. Why do we need to see the tabernacle at this point, Francis?
That's a very good type, I would say, of this race, which Brother Lee in his message pointed out is Christ himself. The way is Christ. And he showed us that that is according to the Bible, because the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. The way is the race. The way we take, the way we walk, is the race that we run. So there is a very good picture in the Old Testament that I believe all the Christians who know the Old Testament portion in Exodus would recognize, the tabernacle. And this tabernacle is what was built by the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness, and which was God's dwelling place. Well, we know God's dwelling place in the New Testament is Christ himself. Christ is the embodiment of God. But in the Old Testament, you have a type. And one type is the tabernacle itself. There are really three parts to the tabernacle. The outer court shows us that at the very entrance into Christ, there is an altar, a brazen altar, where offerings are made to satisfy God's righteousness, his holiness, and his glory, so that we could be made right with God, even though we are sinful, fallen people. We come there, we can be made right with God by the fact that this offering place, this altar, is a picture of Christ on the cross, bearing away all our sins, satisfying God's in every part of what he is. And then it takes us on to a laver. That laver is a kind of a little pool, you might say, of water where the priests had to wash to go on. But Christ is typified both in the cross work and in the laver as the water of life that we cleansed by as we go on through our baptism. And then we come into the tabernacle proper. And if you are acquainted with the tabernacle, you know there are two parts here. When you first come in here, there is a table on the right. And that table has bread on it called showbread. And that showbread is really Christ himself as our food, our supply for our life. And then on the left side is a lampstand. And there we see Christ is our light, is our shining. And then we turn straight ahead again, and we find a golden altar, which represents the praying or the priestly work of Christ. Then that takes you right into the Holy of Holies, where God himself is. Now, all of this is the way that we take. And all of these items in this tabernacle are Christ himself in typology. So when we see what this tabernacle is, we realize this is really the way that we're taking. This is the race that we're running. And I would just say, Chris, it's so pitiful when people just come to the cross, to the altar, the brazen altar, and have their sins washed away, and that's it. And they stay at the altar continually, never progressing on. There's so much more on the way. Christ is our satisfaction, Christ is our food, Christ is our light, Christ is our enjoyment, and bringing us right into the presence of God himself. So the more we run on this race, the more we become just like the one that we're running with, and that's the Lord Jesus himself, and we get right into his presence, his holy presence. That makes us a holy people. This is our goal. This is the race that we're running, and this is the goal that we're wanting to reach during this life.
Francis, I really enjoy that. He is not just our Savior, but he has really broken through and become the forerunner, and we just follow him all the way into God's presence.
That's right. He cut the way, and we're taking the way.
Amen. Let's go back, Francis, and hear our conclusion today with Witness Lee.
Saul of Tarsus, he was 100% for this Jewish religion. He was 100% for this. When he realized some of his countrymen, like Peter, John, Stephen, and so forth, were not in this religion, he was stood up to oppose them. And all those, Peter, John, and Stephen, they are the people walking on the way. Not only walking on the way, they are running. They are running on the way. So the way became a race. And he was also running. Not on the way, but by side of the way. While he was running by side of the way, the Lord Jesus came and knocked him down to turn him to this way. He got into Christ. Now, he is in Christ. He had not only to walk the way, but run the way, run the race. When you drive a car, you drive fastly. You are not looking around for an exit. When you are looking around for an exit, you slow down your car. When you slow down your car, that means what? That means you are getting out through an exit. But when you drive fast, 150 miles an hour, I tell you, there is no change, no consideration, no possibility for you to get out. By running, the way is changed into a race. Now, I do believe you understand what is the race. That is the way. And also understand why the race, why the way is called the race. Because to Paul, there was a big, the greatest incentive for him to press on. He was running. He was running. He had no time to look around. He had no time to consider anything else. He was running. Don't forget, he was nearly a typical Hebrew believer. So, after all the 11 chapters, he presented a clear view to those Hebrew believers, showing them the real way. Showing them the real way. Now we can see the real way by that time was just Christ, set up by God in front of all the believers. After he presented such a clear view of this way in 11 chapters, now he said, let's run the race. Don't stand. Don't look back. Don't look around. Don't talk. Even don't walk. Let's run. Let's run the race. Now you understand the background. Right? Let's now run the race. Not only you shouldn't go back to do this, not only you shouldn't leave Christ, even you shouldn't stay here in Christ. Even to walk in Christ is not adequate. You have to run to keep yourself so much occupied with running. You don't have any more chance to consider a little bit, to look around a little bit. No need to shrink back. I don't believe by that time when Paul wrote this letter, there was no airplane. If there was, he would say, brothers, fly! But anyhow, in chapter 6, he did use the word flee. Flee! Flee into the Holy of Holies. Our forerunner, Jesus Christ, has entered within the veil. Now let us flee. Flee everything.
Francis, likely recalling his own experience of how he got in the race and on the way, Paul the Apostle has a strong encouragement, even exhortation to his Hebrew brethren to run this race. Even to walk on the way was not adequate. They had to run. How about us, Francis? What about our pace?
Well, that's hard to have to answer that, because I have to admit, for years my pace has been too slow. And I believe so many Christians, so many of our listeners, are really lovers of Christ. They know Him. They're so grateful that He has saved them, that they have His eternal life. But the way to go on is not so clear to many, many Christians. And that is, this is something of desperation. It's not that we're huffing and puffing. in our own energy down a racetrack, but it's that we're opening up to this wonderful priest, Christ himself, as our high priest, as our forerunner, as our goal, as our everything. And we just want to give him all the room to make his home in our heart, give him all the room to be our energizer. He originates and he initiates everything to make us one with him. If people just read the Gospel of John, they would miss the going on that's urged to us in Hebrews. It's in John, but you don't see it till you read Hebrews with John. So I believe we're really on the right book, Chris, to be in the book of Hebrews now to help our dear fellow believers to know that there's a race for us to run and there's a goal for us to reach.
Well, our life study of Hebrews is about two-thirds completed. We still have much to go, and we'll hope that you'll stay with us for as many of those as you can, including tomorrow's message when we'll be back with Witness Lee. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Whether you're hearing this program via radio, online, or as a podcast, you'll find hundreds of audio studies just like this one by visiting our website, lsmradio.com. We also hope you'll email us with your questions or comments, radio@lsm.org, or call us toll-free, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.